When fully implemented in 2017, the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare, will likely affect change in the cost of doing business for many businesses across the land, including the businesses in the business of providing us with food to eat. All this change leads us to ask, how will the Affordable Care Act affect the cost and price of our food?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Hello out there. You are tuned into the 1014th edition of the Food Chain Radio Program, right here on the GCN Radio Network. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends over there in Yokohama who are tuned in as we stream along in the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio with engineer Jason Struby on the boards. Hello, Jason.
Good morning.
Folks, while preparing to speak to an agricultural trade group recently, I was approached with a suggestion to feature the Affordable Care Act's likely impact on agriculture and food in an edition of this Food Chain Radio program. When I pitched the topic around the agricultural professionals in attendance, I realized the act, though not yet fully implemented, was already having a significant impact on many businesses. Though none of the professionals seemed pleased with the impact the act was having on their business, none seemed too anxious to discuss it, at least in public, fearing perhaps that the wrong person might hear what they actually thought, so they didn't say much at all. In fact, the Affordable Care Act is changing how the United States conducts the business of its health care, which is said to constitute about one-fifth of its economy. When such a large change is made to such a large part of the economy, it will likely have an effect on other parts of the economy as well. And so today we pause to ask, how will the Affordable Care Act affect the price of our food? Here to help us get a prescription for an answer, we have Pamela Forget-Hetrick. Welcome aboard.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Now, Pamela, you have a long history in the healthcare world, starting out as a Navy corpsman.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not like a Navy corpsman.
No, the president did get that one wrong.
President did get that one. So what does a Navy corpsman do?
They can be in a lot of different fields. You start with basic medical training, and then you specialize from there. So I was actually trained to be a lab technician.
Okay, so you had
Some went on to be x-ray techs, work in ERs. We all specialized from the basic sort of training.
Mm-hmm. And from there, from the Navy, you went into the healthcare professions as an insurance specialist, correct?
Well, actually, I transitioned first into staying in medical, but the training that you get in the military doesn't really correlate to real life, because we would do things like have to do stitches and chest tubes and things that in the real world is a little bit, you know, that you want a doctor for that. So a lot of the training that we had didn't really correlate to real life. I happened to be responsible for a large frozen blood supply, and lo and behold, the AIDS epidemic came up, and the same technology that we use for defrosting and dealing with frozen blood turned out to be the technology for washing your own blood and getting it recycled while you had surgery. So I did that for a number of years.
Wow.
And then I worked for medical device companies, and my jobs kept going back to Chicago. I spent one winter there. I'll never go back. Don't like my plane to transfer there. And thought I really need to find a way to take this medical training and do something else. And the world of insurance opened up. So
good. So you've kind of gravitated to the world of covered California.
Well, yeah. I always swore after I got out of the military I would never, ever, 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 ever again work for the government. And yet I find a whole new career, and they come and find me.
So. And they come and find you. Good. You also host the Money Moves radio show, which is a financial show, mm-hmm. in which you often talk about the Affordable Care Act and the impact on people's lives, which is really what I want to focus on today, is that the Affordable Care Act will and is having an effect on people's lives. And in listening to your radio show, I think that you're the only one on earth that understands it, at least
There's others who understand it. I just have more practical knowledge because I deal with so many people. So I do hear all the stories, good and bad. I see the people that it totally helps, and I see the total devastation to others. So I guess maybe I'm a little bit more able to walk that fine line on the fence of seeing both sides.
And there is both sides, of course.
There's both sides, definitely.
So what I'd like to do to start the program today is really get to the nub of what this change was in our healthcare system. We were doing things one way, and we turned and did things the other way. I'd like to figure out exactly what that change was and how it worked itself out through the system. So we, at one time, we all had health insurance, correct?
Most people did.
Which, of course, some people didn't, which is the problem.
Right.
Now everybody does, or should. No. Okay, set that aside for a minute.
Yeah.
But we had health insurance.
Yes.
Okay. And health insurance business is a business. It was a business in which businesses took your money and bet on whether you would or would not get sick.
Right.
Essentially. And the way they figured this out is through actuarials. What's an actuarial?
It's a math geek, essentially. They take a look at lots of different data and can kind of do predictive analysis based on that. In health insurance, if you look at a huge population, say the nation at whole, they know that 80% of the population are going to use less than $500 worth of healthcare in a year. And another sliver, you know, say 16% will do something between $500 and $1,500. The challenge is that there will be the 2% of Christopher Reeves and millions of dollars, or the hard car accidents or cancers, you know, with long treatments. That is what health insurance is for. We could absorb, and we did up until probably somewhere in the 80s. The smaller costs. We paid for our doctor's office visits. I'm old enough, sadly, that I can remember going to the doctor's office and seeing a posting on the wall that said an office visit is $30. And you actually paid your fee before you went and saw the doctor.
There was a time when you brought in three chickens, right?
Yeah. And people think we always had health insurance. I'm like, if you watch Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman, or some of these, I don't think her solely ever whipped out an insurance card. I mean, insurance is a fairly, like, since World War II kind of thing. And the reason why our health insurance is different in the United States and versus when people compare us to, like, Europe. Europe was, you know, wiped out into rubble, essentially, after the war.
Start from scratch.
And we came back into this booming, you know, baby boomer economy. And for us, health insurance was a way for an employer to attract people. There was a wage freeze. You couldn't compete based on I'll pay you more. The only thing you could do is give them more perks. So, hence, that's where our health insurance came from.
And the health insurance started paying the doctor's visits instead of...
It started out as major medical, so it was only for hospitalizations. So it was for those big, unexpected type of claims. And people paid still for their doctor's office visits, a basic lab work, whatever. So we knew the prices because when you would go into the doctor's office, like I said before, there was a bulletin with those little white push pins, you know, that said an office visit is this. An x-ray could be
it's like going to the auto mechanic, you know.
Exactly. Or to a restaurant. You know what the cost is before you choose to get that service or not. Part of our hugest challenge is there's no transparency anymore because we've now turned everything over to a third party. Take this off of our shoulders. You pay it. We don't really care what the cost is. We haven't controlled the cost because
we don't need to control.
We don't need to because somebody else is going to pay it.
Right.
Well, the gig is up and now we have to pay it.
So the insurance industry works on a bet, on a wager. They would put up their money and bet on your health. And they would had it pretty well down because they use the actuarial tables to figure out the odds, kind of like much better than a horse race, actually, because you can see the odds over a very big spectrum of people. But some people did not have health insurance, were left out in the cold. So how did the Affordable Care Act change that basic formula of a private business making a bet on your health and well-being?
The health insurance companies, essentially the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, whatever term you want to use for it, is leveling the playing field. So think of the analogy of a teeter-totter. You've got a fulcrum in the middle. And in order to level that playing field, 50% have to go down, 50% have to go up.
And there it is. When we get back, we'll continue to see who's going to pay for the ones that are going up and the ones that are going down.
Mm-hmm.
I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio. Today we're talking about the impact the Affordable Care Act will have on the price of our food. Why would it have an impact on the price of food? Stay tuned. You'll hear all about it with Pamela Fugit-Hetrick and you. Do stay tuned.
Get this. You can earn a 5-6 or 7-figure income by farming a small parcel of land in or near the city.
You can be old or young.
Rich or poor.
Married or single.
You can own land outright.
Or lease it year to year.
You can grow small fruits on prairie bench lands.
Houseplants in coastal valleys.
Flowers on steep wooded hillsides.
Vegetables in the city green belts.
And ornamentals in neighborhoods of fancy homes.
Get all the help you need to get growing at MetroFarm.com.
Get the complete guide to growing high value specialty crops for the city at MetroFarm.com.
Get experts to look at your land and assess which crops to grow at MetroFarm.com.
Get advice on how to plan and develop your project at MetroFarm.com.
And get news about the business of farming for the city.
Yes, you can earn a 5-6 or even a 7-figure income by farming high-value specialty crops on a small parcel of land in or near the city.
Grow for the money today at MetroFarm.com. That's MetroFarm.com.
When it was first proposed as legislation, the Affordable Care Act contained 11,000 pages of regulations. Speaker Nancy Pelosi said we have to pass the Affordable Care Act before we know what's in it. I didn't read it. Did you?
She didn't either.
Did anybody? Could anybody? Is it possible for a human being to read 11,000 pages of regulations? I think the only way you could do it is would be to load it up into a computer and let a computer read it. Then you'd have to read it from the computer. I have no idea how you could make something so complicated. And since it was passed, there have been 50 major changes, including 31 by the Obama administration, 17 by the Congress, and that were signed by the president, and 2 by the Supreme Court. So what the heck is that piece of legislation, 11,000 pages of rules and regulations by which we must abide and conduct our health care? So that's what we're talking about today. How is this going to impact the cost of our food? And we're starting about the basic change that it made. The insurance industry once was a private business in which people pooled their money and bet on whether you would be healthier or sick, or whether your car would go without having an accident or not, or whether you would live or die or whatever. It's always the bet. They lived by the actuarials, by the odds, by the chances. They have to pay somebody out. But if they bet good, they could make money and make a lot of money. And who made more money than Warren Buffett?
Mm-hmm.
There it is. So that's what the insurance industry was. But we changed that, I think. And that's what we're getting at today. The Affordable Care Act, to my way of thinking, turned businesses, private businesses, into public utilities. Pam?
Yeah, in a way they did. A lot of what the Affordable Care Act was about was not healthcare reform, it was insurance reform. And the insurance companies, okay, I work with them every day. Let's just say some of their bad rap is well deserved.
Right now, Pamela's rolling up her sleeves.
You know, oftentimes I'll have conversations where they tell me, I'm like, really, you want me to call my client, our client, and tell them just what you told them? Do you understand how dumb that makes you look? So they don't do themselves any favors. I'm not totally pro-insurance company. I just happen to work in insurance. So, you know, they do their thing. This started back in like the time of Queen Isabella when you want a bunch of people to get on a ship with, you know, questionable chances of odds of whether they're going to go find gold and bring it back or just die in the ocean because we really don't know what's out there. They would pool money and have it available so if these guys don't come back, their families would be taken care of or else none of these guys were getting on the boat. So, I mean, that's how insurance started, the actuarial thing. Mm-hmm. I'm sure the odds were a lot worse in those days.
Yeah.
You know, so our odds get better. We live longer. We have more expensive technology. We have medications now that can cure diseases we didn't have a cure for last year, this year, but that's $1,000 a pill because you had, you know, who knows how many hundreds of thousands of epic fails trying to find this cure. Yeah. You have to fund all of that. So, you know, the complaint has always been that healthcare costs too much. And our healthcare here in the U.S. is the most expensive in the world, just about.
So in the past, only those people who could buy insurance bought insurance. And mm-hmm. everybody else was kind of left to fend for themselves or, you know,
typically it came out of the employer base because it mm-hmm. started out as something that's
still wages though.
Right. You know, your employer, I can't pay you more because of whatever legislation was going on at the time after World War II. So I will, you know, offer you and your family mm-hmm. life insurance and health insurance and these other things. So it was used as an attraction. People wanted government jobs or union jobs. I can remember hearing that from my parents. Get a good government job because, you know, if you work for them, you're going to get all these perks.
All the benefits.
Sure. All the benefits and pensions and things. So
what Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act did was make – what did it do?
Well,
Didn't it not make insurance available to everybody?
Have you ever played Yahtzee where you put the dice in the cup and you just throw it out there?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, to some extent, it changed it to be a brave new world. Insurance carriers basically had to take everything that they knew about projecting expenses, doing claims, and they have, you know, decades of data to work with, and they pretty much know. They don't know who will get the payout, though they know kind of what the payout will be. And they know what the expenses or the trends are, the cost of new drugs, or, you know, they're very up on this. That's what they do. And they know that while they do work with ginormous volumes of money, they do work on about a 2-3% profit margin. Now, 2-3% of a ginormous number is still a ginormous number, but it doesn't give you a lot of room to have an epic fail. So if swine flu or bird flu or whatever flies through and, you know, hundreds and thousands of us get ill, that actuarial data turned out to be, oh, not so good. But there goes that 2-3% plus some.
Yeah. Did the Affordable Care Act, though, I heard somebody on the radio a while back, I think local radio, it was a guy who said something to the extent that I'm 50 years old. For 30 years, I've been a drug addict, mm-hmm. and my body's falling apart.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so happy for the Affordable Care Act because now I can get all the treatment I need,
mm-hmm.
and I can afford it now because I don't have to pay for it.
Yeah.
So who's paying for it?
Everybody. In ways that you can't even imagine, which kind of goes to what is it going to do to the cost of food because a farmer.
So this gentleman, this 50-year-old gentleman mm-hmm. who called the talk show, doesn't have any money.
Mm-hmm. So he gets a subsidy.
So he's being subsidized by mm-hmm. whom?
The federal government is subsidizing the state. You know, it can't like all be clean, right? In government bureaucracy, it's got to go through 20 hands. So the questionable gray part is we're $18 trillion in debt as a company or as a country. Consider that a company that I
sure.
mean, would you invest in a company that's $18 trillion in debt? I don't even think Warren Buffett's taken that bet. And so, you know, we have a company, the $18 trillion in debt, subsidizing maybe a division, the state, to pay for health care for their individuals who can't afford it based on a national federal poverty level, which works if you live in rural Georgia. It doesn't work so great if you live in Santa Cruz and Carmel and, you know, rents are as high as they are. So their idea of you make enough money that we're not going to help you is $45,000 for an individual or $62,000 for a couple. And it goes up as your family gets larger. But that's kind of chump change in in our area. There's a lot of people who qualified. I did so over 1,000 covered California clients.
So then the people who aren't who are not getting subsidized
got their rates ratcheted up
are the people who are paying for the people who are subsidized. Mm-hmm. So then the people who are subsidized get all the care they need. And the people who are not subsidized have really high deductibles.
They have really high health care expenses. My premium went from $400-something for a high deductible plan to close to $700 for a high deductible plan that's actually not as good as when I was paying $400.
Okay. So the insurance company that once used actuarials to place their bets, mm-hmm. now have a facility where they just go to the government and say, it costs us this much to insure everybody, so this is what everybody has to pay now.
Mm-hmm. They still use actuarials because there's still new drugs, new procedures. You mm-hmm. know, like there's that new hepatitis C medication that's out. And it's $1,000 a pill. I think you have to take two a day, and it's like a 14-day course to do it. So
if our 50-year-old drug addict happens to have hepatitis C,
yeah, they're all
he
on
is
it
now eligible to get the $1,000.
They've been living with a potential death sentence, and now we potentially have a cure. It works about mm-hmm. 90% of the time. You might have to do it twice. So you're looking at $140,000 for this one treatment.
Okay, so what happens when all of this runs out of money? And it appears to be running out of money.
Oh, yeah.
Which is what we're going to find out when we come back from this break. Folks, this is the Food Chain Radio Program. What impact will the Affordable Care Act have on the price of our food? You eat, I eat, we all eat. And we all have to buy that food from somebody else. Even those people who grow it themselves buy it from somebody else. What is it going to cost as a consequence of the Affordable Care Act? Do stay tuned right back. Things a lot better for everybody, so we passed the Affordable Care Act. And now those who have very little income are subsidized with health care, and they can get their health care. However, those who do have an income must pay for those who don't, so they have an extraordinary how much has the price of healthcare gone up since the Affordable Care Act?
It depends on where you live and how old you are. Who took it in the shorts the heaviest is actually the 20 to 35-year-olds, because they always had a very low projection of what they were going to be spending on healthcare. And now,
sure, young
when
and
you
healthy.
Leveled out that playing field, remember somebody okay. had to go up, somebody mm-hmm. went down? The benefactors, to some extent, were the oldest. You know, sure. the 60 to 64 group always paid the most. They got the least percentage of rate increase. The 20 and 30-year-olds got the worst of it. But
okay.
it's anywhere from 20 to 50%.
Well, it's gone up 20 to 50%. Mm-hmm. Well, here's the good news. The states reporting to the federal government on they've had a year to look at the true cost of this Affordable Care Act. And they're saying we're not charging enough to those who can afford to pay. Mm-hmm. So we need to raise the rates to those who can afford to pay. And the rates are going up are really quite extraordinary, up to 51% rate increases they're asking
for. Yeah, that's
for.
What New Mexico just
New
asked
Mexico.
For. Yeah. So it's the insurance companies are always working almost a year ahead. So they're setting their rates now for 2016 because it takes at least 6 months to go through all the ordeal of getting your approvals and, mm-hmm. you know, blah, 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 through all the government channels. So you always are having to project far ahead, just like a business would have to project far ahead for what they think cost and what they would make the, you know, in coming years will be so they can set their budgets.
Okay, so they're looking ahead and seeing we're not bringing enough money. And the reason we're not bringing in enough money, twofold, right? Mm-hmm. There's two reasons. Reason number one, people are a lot sicker than we thought they were. And yeah. they're the
Let's
healthcare.
Just say there was a lot of deferred maintenance out there. You had a lot of used cars that had never had an oil change.
Yeah.
You know?
And there we are.
Yeah.
And also the cost of healthcare has blossomed. You talked about a new hepatitis C drug manufactured that costs $1,000 a pill.
The whole course, I've been told, is about $140,000 for the course of treatment. It's about $1,000 a pill. You have to take a couple a day for a certain length of time and on a certain regimen. And you have to get it, like, the timing perfect or it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's about 90% it fixes it. And so long-term return on investment, that actually might be good for the insurance carriers, because hepatitis C was a latent, it laid in your body and it could come and, you know, cause you to need a liver transplant, which costs a lot more than the $140,000. So, you know, maybe long term it'll be a good thing. Short term, it's $140,000 times a lot of people that everybody wants this drug if that's, you know, what affects you.
Is there any incentive now to take care of your body?
No, not at all. Smoke, drink, be overweight. Government doesn't care. I mean, on some level, I suppose they do. Michelle Obama is very fit and, you know, tries to project that. But from as simply an insurance case, no, because I can't ask people any health questions. I can't ask them. I can ask them how old they are and what zip code they live in. And if they're looking for a subsidy, how much money they make, which is a whole nother question, because lo and behold, I used to have to ask them about their AIDS, their bunions, their heart disease, whatever. Now I ask them about their money. And trust me, people are so much more clueless about that one than they are about whatever ailed them. They could have told me everything about that one, more than I ever wanted to hear. So I really don't miss those health conversations, but the money ones are tough.
So if somebody's a 20-year-old drug addict and they want to be a drug addict for 30 years, like the caller into the radio talk show, then there's no incentive for him or her not to
be. And they get Medi-Cal for free because they're going to be in the category of not having taxable income. Let's say there's a lot of people out there with a lot of income. They don't have taxable income. So it goes on,
you know, that's
taxable income.
That's an interesting one, because I was talking to a friend who's a Silicon Valley zillionaire, mm-hmm. who's retired and he still has a young family, and he has all of his money in one corporation and his income in another corporation, mm-hmm. and he doesn't make any money. So he's getting subsidies from Obamacare.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Happens all the time. Can't begin to tell you. I've actually learned quite a bit from dealing with clients. I'm like, I have to put this in my piggy bank of things I should consider later in life, because, you know, these people are, there are rules to a game, and the team that's going to win is the team that learns how to maximize and plays by the rules. So it's the same with taxes and everything else. They're not breaking any of the rules. They are certainly learning to take advantage of them to the best of the extent that the rules allow for. And whenever you make a rule, some creative soul will find a way to capitalize on said rule.
So the people who really understand the rules and how to use them, and the people who are not making enough money so that they're getting a subsidies, mm-hmm. are really the people who are costing the system enough so that the states are looking to have to raise the rates on those that are paying the rules mm-hmm. by upwards of 50%.
Well, the states aren't really the ones raising the rates. Insurance companies still provide insurance, so they're still doing the same math geek equations. Mm-hmm. To them, it doesn't matter whether I pay them or the government pays them.
They're not a private company.
They are getting paid.
They're not making a bet anymore. They're just providing a utility, like the electrical company.
So if I'm 55 years old and on the high deductible plan, my premium for my daughter and I is like $700 for the two of us. It's $700 whether I pay that whole thing or whether I get a subsidy from the government and I pay $2 and the government pays the $698. It's the same $700. So the insurance carriers aren't really – there's a lot of cost of compliance that's been added.
Ooh.
The insurance carriers are now
11,000 pages
are now essentially the IRS of healthcare, because there are a lot of taxes that were added on. There has to be a policy tax, of this tax, of that tax, you know, a health improvement tax for to fund these organizations that don't even exist yet. But there's these taxes that are being collected. The insurance carriers collect that, and they turn that back over to the government. So just like we pay taxes to the IRS, who turns that money to the government, the insurance carriers are now the IRS for Obamacare. So not all of that money that we're paying, there's about 6% probably that's going back out in taxes that's not theirs.
Wow.
Just like a business collecting sales tax. You turn that sales back over to the state.
Okay, so we've went from a world in which private companies, insurance companies, put their money at risk and bet on their health and well-being. Some of us are going to be healthy. Some of us are going to get sick. We can bet, make this bet based on the actuarial tables looking at broad populations of people. We've since changed that to the extent that now everybody is included in that actuarial table, and nobody's really responsible for the actuarial, for making the bet anymore,
right?
Because the bets are all covered by the people who are paying for the insurance. Holy smokes, folks, that's you and I. What impact will this insurance, this new way of doing things, have on the cost of our food, if any? This is the Food Chain Radio Program. Michael Olson, Pamela Fugit-Hetrick, and you, 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Right back. Hey, you out there. Yeah, you the one in Pennsylvania, the one who is eating that strawberry. I have a question for you. How many people do you think picked that or held that strawberry before you got to eat it? How many people did it take to deliver that strawberry to you? You know, there were the people who were working the soil in out there in California, the people who were inoculating the soil with fumigants and covering it with plastic, and there were people who were planting and people who grew the starts up in Northern California, and then there were people who were laying the irrigation and the drips, and there were people who were weeding, and there were people who were harvesting, and people who were packing, and people who were shipping, and people who were in the wholesale sector, and they were shipping to the grocery stores, and there are people in the grocery stores, and how many people did it take to deliver those strawberries to you? Well, each one of those people are going to have to be insured under the Affordable Care Act. Pamela, what's it going to cost?
Right now, in our area, the average of the lowest lowball thing you can throw on to get in compliance is about $250 a month for agriculture. Maybe a little bit less if they're one of the megas, but even labor contractors, you know, where a lot of this labor comes from to work on these fields and farms, they're looking at somewhere around that, which equates out, field workers do work very long hours when they work, so maybe a dollar an hour is their projection on what it costs for every single individual, whether they're the person who preps the soil, irrigates, puts that plastic cover on, fumigates, plants, pulls weeds, and then eventually, finally, the picking crews, the packing crews, there's shippers. So a lot of hands have touched that strawberry before we get to pop it in our mouth and enjoy it.
And every one of those, so that's a dollar an hour?
A dollar an hour.
That's the absolute bare bones.
Yeah, and that's,
bare naked
and that's
minimum.
Actually health insurance that does these field workers absolutely really no good, because in the past we had certain types of insurance products that were really geared for this particular environment. They were much lower cost. They had super low or no deductibles. They had very low co-pays, because what field workers need and use is typically office visits, labs, chiropractic. You bend over all day and do that work. You know, so that's what they needed. if they needed a super expensive surgery or cancer treatment, typically they either went back to the country of origin or they their income qualified them for Medi-Cal and they ended up in a government program anyway. So they what they really needed was access to care at a most basic
level. And what they got?
And what they got is a $6,000 deductible plan with $60, $90 copays. So none of them go. We're forced by law to put this insurance on them. They don't want it. In many cases, the insurance, the employer's not mandated to pay for everything. But if you're making $8 or $9 an hour doing this hard labor, supporting a family, trying to send money home to Mexico or what, you know, what these families do, then, you know, do not try and take $1 out of that hard-earned paycheck. They will fight you tooth and nail or just say no, of which you cannot make them take it unless you pay 100%.
So they're paying $1 an hour for insurance they can't use.
They can't use.
And who's going to pay for that $1 an hour?
Well, every time you pop that strawberry in your mouth or you purchased it at the store, those costs are getting rolled into you. Farmers and labor contractors work on very small margins. I mean, while yes, you may see a farming operation pull in, you know, millions of dollars, when you look at the millions of dollars of expenditures, their margins that they work on is very small. And there's always the element of risk. You know, we could have a crappy year. We could have no sun. We could have too much sun. We could have water, no water. And now we have also the added compliance costs. Farm workers, unlike a store or a retail or a service type of business that I typically would work in, we know people clock in, they clock out, you know. In a field, thousands of people show up in their cars and they just go to work, you know. So, I mean, think about trying to track all that, trying to say, put a spreadsheet in because you're going to have to show it to the IRS of healthcare that you had all these workers and they worked X number of hours every single one of these months and who was really a full-time and who was really a part-time. And there is no good definition of seasonal in the law. And it's just pretty much a hot mess.
So everybody all the way up and down the food chain, from the person who, you know, turns the first shovel full of earth to the person that actually puts that strawberry in your grocery bag, if you still have grocery bags wherever you're at.
Yeah.
You're not California.
In our reusable ones, yes.
Yeah. Everybody up and down that entire food chain is paying an absolute minimum of a dollar an hour extra.
So they're either going to carve costs somewhere else, try to work more efficiently. Robotics is going to be a hot topic in agriculture because we got to try and eliminate people. They just cost too much.
So a dollar an hour from everybody up the and down the entire food chain, and that cost is going to have to be paid by somebody, and that cost is going to have to be paid by you up there in Pennsylvania, who had that strawberry that you're about to plop into your mouth and think, God, this is so good. And it's going to be have to be paid for, I guess, because who else is going to pay for it? Folks, this is the Food Chain right back. We're going to ask Pamela how much it's going to cost when we get back. Folks, we've changed the way we've tend to our health care here in the United States. Way back when, we used to go to the doctor and pay the doctor whatever it took. Sometimes that was two chickens, or maybe three. Then we started using insurance, and the insurance started paying for our doctor visits and our drugs and our procedures. And that was really cool as long as you had insurance. But when you didn't have insurance, things got really expensive because, well, the medical profession could charge whatever it wanted and get away with it. And it did. And now we have the Affordable Care Act, which seems to be affordable for people who do not have any money, but not so for people who actually work in the fields, like those people who prepare, who grow and harvest and ship and pack and sell your food. Whereas the minimum plans that they now have are, well, how much deductible in them, Pam?
$5,000.
So you have to you have to pay $5,000 worth of doctor bills before you get reimbursed anything from the insurance. So who in the heck making, you know, 10 bucks an hour is going to be able to do that? Mm-hmm. So everybody up and down the food chain that is responsible for your food is now costing an extra dollar an hour, absolute bare bones minimum. Everybody, all the way up and down the food chain, an extra dollar an hour. What is that going to mean for the price of our food, Pam?
Well, it's certainly not going to make it any cheaper. I mean, it's like, you know, it doesn't really, I'm not a math geek. And, you know, I do calculator math and Excel spreadsheets. And I still can tell you that when you start adding all those costs, it's going to cost more. A lot of things are trying to happen around that to compensate, trying to use the lowest amount of labor. That's where you hear of, you know, when you look at the jobs reports, you know, not so much in agriculture. The one thing that farmers are really strapped with is at the point that berry is ripe and needs to be picked, the shelf life on that is so narrow, so small. It needs to be picked now, cooled, chilled, shipped, and, you know, in a week it's mush, you know, moldy yep. mush in your refrigerator, and nobody wants to buy that.
It's got to be done when it needs to be done.
It's so time sensitive. And there already was a labor shortage. It's a thankless job to pick that stuff.
What are your clients in agriculture saying with respect to the Affordable Care Act? If they were completely honest, are they completely honest with you?
Oh, more than honest. Trust me. I have to say that the farmers are the salt of the earth clients, and they'll be happy to tell you what they think. So they've been actually working on this since 2010. So we've known things implement over time. 2014 was kind of the first wall. The employer mandate got pushed back, so only the largest farmers are dealing with it now this year in 2015. So they had 5 years of fear and loathing in healthcare land to try and how are we going to deal with this? And there's been lots of products that were promoted, sent, discarded. Like I said before, if you have a rule, everyone will try and find the best economical way to work within that rule. And some of the things that were the original solutions that look good have now been kiboshed. And at some point, the only thing that can happen is the prices will go up.
So there it is, folks. Whatever you're paying is not going to be what you're going to be paying when the Affordable Care Act comes into full force in the year 2017. We're simply going to have to pay for all those people who are paying an extra dollar, are costing an extra dollar an hour. This has been the Food Chain Radio Program. Michael Olson with Pamela Fugit-Hedrick, who is the host of the Money Moves Radio Program. You can Google Money Moves Radio, and you can hear her whenever you want. Thank you all for tuning in. Remember Michael Olson's third law of the food chain, cheap food isn't.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen. Now go out and find some food with a farmer's face on it and live.